What I want you to know, and I want you to flip up that first slide for me, is this. That will you just go to the second one straight away for me? I want you guys to get this. Satan's parade is all about this. Go to the next slide. It's all about this. This is what is going on. He, who do you suppose he is? Who's he? Who's he? Jesus stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. What I want you guys to get is there's this mismatch. When it comes to power, there's this mismatch. And this is Satan's parade. Satan's parade is being crushed and mauled and beaten and defeated and humiliated and then dragged through the streets naked. That's Satan's parade. He's got nothing. In fact, at the end of days, it's not even Jesus that defeats Satan. In Revelation, we see that Jesus actually sends one of his angels, and one of his angels gathers Satan up and throws him away. Jesus doesn't even have to mess with Satan because there's a mismatch. You see, Satan was defeated 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. That was the end of it for Satan. He is a defeated foe. We're gonna get into the Word of God in a minute, and I need a couple of people to help me pass out some Bibles. Anybody want to help me pass out some Bibles? I see one person. If I could get two or three people to help me pass out some Bibles, that would be very helpful. You see, Satan is a defeated foe, and what we saw was a nice sword fight where Satan was overthrown and tossed around a bit, but he kept grabbing his sword again. Did you guys notice that? He would be disarmed, but then he would get his sword back. And he would be disarmed again, and then he would get his sword back. And he would be disarmed again, and then he would get his sword back. And the truth is, he ran out the door, but and Satan runs and hides and cowers when Jesus is around. But Jesus has gone off to heaven now. Not that he left us alone. He left us with the Holy Spirit. But they're right there. You could get one for yourself. You need to get this in your heads that Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus triumphed over Satan and also over death itself. But here's the thing. So watch this. Don't flip to Colossians or whatever. It's right there. You don't have to flip. Just look at me for a minute. It's easy to say Satan's a defeated foe. And it's easy to talk about it, and we can have a little drama and some fun with some swordplay. And we can read, this is out of the Message translation, we can read that Satan's going to be marched through the streets naked and humiliated. But that doesn't stop him from attacking us, does it? It certainly doesn't stop him from attacking us. You see, the end of the sword fight is that Satan is defeated and he's humiliated, but Jesus leaves him here. Jesus goes off to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. And he left us with the Holy Spirit, so we still have the authority. But Satan's still here, and he's still battling. And we see that every day. I heard in Kelseyville that there was a murder-suicide just like a week and a half ago. We know about a kid right here at Kelseyville. He collapsed while playing basketball. We see anguish and terror everywhere we look. We see things that make us scratch our heads and say, how can it possibly be that Jesus is Lord? If Jesus was Lord, then how did this thing happen? How could that have happened? Why is this person dying? How come so-and-so has cancer? If Jesus is Lord, why is all that going on? And last week we talked about the passage that said where God says, I work all things for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. I work all things for good. We talked about what good means, because God's version of good may not be what our version of good is. And we may see We may see the economy collapse, and we may see people lose their jobs. Because they've lost their job, maybe they lose their house, maybe they lose their car, they can't get to work, they have to take some second-rate job. We see this happening all the time. We see people sick, we see people broken, we see people in trouble. And it seems like Satan's in charge. But Satan's not in charge. Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to show you something. It's in 2 Corinthians. You guys know where 2 Corinthians is? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. You see, Jesus is gone and he's left and he's now in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he left the Holy Spirit here and he lives in us and we have all power and authority through him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in the House Bible. What page is that on? 805. 805. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, says this. For though we live in the world, you guys live in the world? Any of you live in the lousy, trodden, beaten down, cruddy old world? Yeah. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. I'm tired of being beat up. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of my loved ones getting beat up. I'm tired of the people closest to me being in anguish. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the bullseye on my back. 2 weeks ago, I was so, worked up. You ask my wife. I was having a hard time even holding still. I don't know what's going on. There's people, there's difficulties, there's trials. People that I love have cancer and are dying, and I'm sick of it. And sometimes I recognize, I'm a pastor, I have a bigger bullseye, and it's harder for me, and I get that, but it doesn't make it any easier for me. I don't like it. I'm tired of being on the defensive. I want to go on the offensive. Anybody in this room with me? I am sick of running. I'm not doing it. I am going to chase them down. The weapons that we have are not the weapons of this war. I'm not going to get a machine gun and go kill a bunch of people. That doesn't make any sense at all. Look what the scripture says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And amen to that. Because I don't want to have to go and say a bunch of rumors to get back at somebody. That's the weapons of this world. I don't want to have to punch somebody to get back at them. I don't want to have to shoot somebody. I don't want somebody else to get sick. That is not what I'm into. The world, they don't fight fair. They fight dirty. Their whole purpose is to take us down. Push us out. Seclude us. Irritate us. Annoy us. Make us angry. Make us lose it. We lose it. I don't want to fight that way. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I was here a number of weeks before Pastor Gary, in one of our conversations. Pastor Gary's a senior pastor of this church, and he's my mentor, and I love him. And he's a man of God, and he's teaching me all kinds of things. And Pastor Gary said this to me. He said, I've lived here, and I've lived in Modesto, and I've lived in Minnesota, and I've lived in New Zealand. And I've pastored churches in all of those places. And I've never experienced spiritual warfare the way I am in this place right here, right now. He's been a pastor for more than 30 years, and his experience here says that the warfare in this place, in Lake County, is harder than the warfare in Minnesota or in Modesto. More challenging, more difficult, more prayer required. The weapons of our warfare are not of this world. Look what it says. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. What power do we have to demolish arguments? Well, let me show you. This one right here. Demolishes arguments. It demolishes arguments. People say they have the answers to life. If the answer to life doesn't come out of this book, then they're a liar. It demolishes arguments. We have weapons, and I'm done running. I'm done worrying. I'm done freaking out. I'm done with it. In the history of the world, there was a little skirmish in Europe. It was called World War II. And one of the things that was going on during World War II was that the American army was watching. They didn't get involved right away. In fact, it took months and months and months. They didn't get involved because, you know, it's not our war. It's over there in Europe. Why as Americans should we get involved in this war? It's clear over there. It's clear on the other side of the sea. And what it took to get America involved was this horrible day that will live in infamy forever. The day Pearl Harbor was bombed. You see, that day was a horrible day, and Americans died that day. A lot of them. In fact, I've actually been able to talk to Pearl Harbor survivors who tell stories of ships that were sinking and men inside that were alive that they couldn't rescue. It was a horrible day. And what that did was it pushed America into the war. And America said, oh, you think you're going to attack us? You just woke the sleeping dog. And we're coming after you. And sometimes I feel that way. You see, we hate persecution. We hate it when our friends are in agony. We hate it when we go to school and people tease us because we're Christians, or they make fun of us, or they mock us, or they say, well, you're like a lesser person in some way. I won't even talk to you. And so many of you guys have experienced that. I know I experienced that when I was your age. We hate persecution. We say, why, Lord? Why do all these horrible things happen? If God was really just and fair, then these horrible things would stop happening. And maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit is whispering to you, get off your butt and get in the fight. Quit watching it happen and get involved. You see, Satan has a parade, but what kind of parade he has today depends on us. It depends on me. You see, the kind of parade that Satan has is this kind of parade where he's drugged and marched naked through the streets. Jesus demoralized him, humiliated him, and crushed him. And the only way that he has the kind of victory parade that we're used to seeing, like the Giants got in San Francisco, the only way he gets that kind of parade is if we let him have it. Okay, I don't want to fight. I don't want to do what it's going to take. So, you know what? You can have this ground. You can have this land. You can have this part of my life. You can have this part of my heart. You can have this part of my relationship. You can have this part of my school. It's not that important. You can have this foothold in my family because it's not worth fighting for. It's not worth fighting for. And Satan, he's having a heyday. He is throwing a party at your expense and mine. So what does it take? Well, You have to be a rebel. Oh, yeah, you can smile. You guys are all excited about this. Like, whoo, I get to be a rebel. Yes, I've always wanted to be a rebel. That's the coolest thing, right? All the cool kids are rebels. And all the cool people throughout history, they're rebels. It's cool to be a rebel. It's cool to be a rebel. Here's what it says. I looked it up in the dictionary. A rebel is someone who resists authority, control, or convention. Authority, control, or convention. I have a question. Who has authority over this horrible earth we live in? Satan. Truth is, Satan has a lot of authority around in this place. The hordes of hell have a lot of authority over this place. You want me to show you why? Take a look around. Look at a hospital. Look at a television. You guys are going to go see a movie. I hope it's a good movie. Because chances are, as good as not, that if you could go to the movie theater and you sit in a random movie, you're going to see nastiness. You think God controlled that and he put nasty on the screen? I don't think so. Control. Someone who resists authority, control, or convention. Who's got control? Who controls the programming on MTV1, MTV2, MTV3, MTV4, MTV5? I don't know how many are there, 11? Who controls? No, there's more than two. Who controls the programming on that television show? You think that's God or Satan? Who's in control of the music industry? I can't even click on iTunes Store without seeing some mostly naked girl flip through the screen. I didn't even look for it. I just want to go buy some music. And then there on iTunes, right on the front page, bam, some half-naked girl. Who's in control of that? You think God's in control of that? I don't think so. To rebel means to fight against what society says. To rebel means to fight against what society says. And I'll put it to you this way. How many of you have already played... what's the name of the game? It's Call of Duty Black Ops. Okay, Call of Duty Black Ops. I'm calling this one out because it's just the newest. It's just the newest. I'm calling this one out because it's just the newest. What's Call of Duty Black Ops rated? M for mature. You're not supposed to even be able to buy it until you're like 17 or something. So all you guys that are 17 and older, no problem. I'm not picking on that one. I'm saying there's a whole laundry list of Call of Duty games. Watch this now. Look at my face. Call of Duty, $3 billion for the franchise. And what's Call of Duty based on? War, violence, blood, killing, destruction. What's it based on? It's based on all the things God doesn't want us involved in. And it's just the latest. It's not it. If you think you're off the hook, what about this? How many of you have Rihanna on your iPod? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. She's hot. How many hot girls are there? A trillion. I'm just saying. Hot is so meaningless. So meaningless. Airbrushed nonsense. So meaningless. So meaningless. Here's the thing about, and I'm not just picking on Rihanna. I could have just as easily picked on, sure, Taylor Swift. I could have just as easily picked on Lady Gaga. Oh, you guys are all saying, ooh, but I bet if I checked your iPods, half of you have something of hers on them. Uh-huh. You guys say, ooh, I could probably say Miley Cyrus, and you guys would be like, ew, so gross. And then I'd check your iPods. Like, half of you have a Miley Cyrus on your iPod. Don't lie to me. I don't want you to check right now. What I'm saying is, if you want to be a rebel when somebody calls you up and says, come over to my house, let's kill some people on this video game, say no. That's rebellion. You want to be a rebel? Quit buying crap on iTunes. That's rebellion. You see, Satan has a hold on the things that as high schoolers we love. All the movies, all the television, all the music, all the video games. Now, maybe not all the video games. Maybe not all the music. Maybe not all the television. Maybe not all the movies are horrible, despicable, disgusting. But a lot of it is. See, right now, already, you lost it. Don't lose sight of what we're talking about here. This is war. It's nothing short of war. You think Black Ops is cool? This is cool. Real people are suffering and dying. Real people are going to spend eternity in hell. You want consequences? Don't tell me about your buddy who just got shot on Black Ops. Tell me about your buddy who's going to hell. You want to be a rebel? You want to be a rebel? Try this. Yeah, I'll play Black Ops. For every hour we're on Black Ops, I'm going to read my Bible for 10 minutes. 6-1, dude. Every hour, 10 minutes in my Bible. You want to see people treat you like a rebel? Try that. Try waging real war, where real lives are at stake, where eternity hangs in the balance. Then tell me about rebellion. Rebellion. Here's the thing about the nature of rebellion. Rebellion is costly. Rebels paid the price for their title. Don't tell me you watch some nasty show behind your parents' back and you think you're a rebel. Shut up. You're not a rebel. You're a conformer. My hope is that some of you by now are thinking, well, okay, this is all well and good, but how do we actually wage war? You talk about war. This isn't war. What, you want to pull up my Bible? That's waging war? Yeah. That's not waging war. That's just a different kind of conformity. That's what your friends will say. It's just a different kind of conformity. You're just conforming in a different way. Instead of conforming to things that are cool, you're conforming to something that's lame. Something that's lame and sharper than any two-edged sword. Something that's lame and the difference between heaven and hell. Let's keep in mind, boys and girls, that this book right here, this is not a new book. It's not a new fad. It didn't just come out day before yesterday. It's not a top seller on some teenage highest priority books to buy list. This has been around for centuries. The same God who brought Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of their mess 6,000 years ago is the same God who sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. It is the same God who will pull you out of your mess. This is not just some book. All of those books, they go away after a day or a week or a month or a year. The really long-lasting books might last a decade. You might even have heard of some books that are a century old. Yeah, this one's a few thousand years old. It's not just some book. It is God's word. So how do you wage war? I'm so glad you asked. Grab your Bibles. We're going to Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians. How do you wage war? You go to Ephesians. Chapter 6. It's a few pages to the right, chapter 6. What is it? 813. Chapter 6. Guess where we're going to start? Some of you, you Christians, you church kids, you know where we're going. We're going to definitely start. We'll start in verse 10, but verse 11 is where it gets going. Ready for this? How do you wage war? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. By the way, waging war, for every war, there's people behind the scenes making it happen. For every war, there are great weapons. And for every war, there are great warriors. For our war, we're dead in the water. We're sunk. We're absolutely lost. We got nothing without Jesus Christ. He's our strength. He's our source. He's our king. He's our commander. Without him, we have nothing. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. By the way, does it say right there that you should run away from the devil? Does it say you should chase after the devil? No. Watch my face. Look at me. This is what the Bible says. When Satan comes at you, you stand firm. It doesn't say chase him down the street. And it doesn't say run away from him. It says stand firm. If you're going to come at me, see the one behind me right here is Jesus Christ. Come on, devil. You think you can take me? You got to take my friend first. And I promise you, he will flee. He already knows if he goes against Jesus, he loses. Period. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. By the way, let me reinforce this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You think you have enemies? The enemy of your soul is not flesh and blood. He is spirit. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light, the devil. Stand your ground. We don't fight against flesh and blood. So how do we fight, PC? Good question. You guys are full of good questions tonight. Just wanted to applaud you for that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, in verse 12, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil and in the heavenly realms. Okay, so we know who our enemy is. It's Satan and his horde, his demons, his evil ones. Verse 13, therefore, since we know who our enemy is, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, okay, I'm ready. What do I have to do? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. By the way, have you ever seen a friend lie and then get caught in their lie? It's kind of like liar, liar, pants on fire. Maybe you've heard of that. Here's why their pants are on fire. It's because they forgot to put on the belt of truth and their pants fell down. It ain't good. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm just saying. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Do you guys know what a breastplate did? It was Kevlar. You guys have heard of Kevlar, right? Come on, you guys play Black Ops. Of course, they have Kevlar and Black Ops, right? Don't you? Bulletproof vests? The only one of you that's been in the military, well, there's probably a few of you, but Christina's back there going, yeah, Kevlar, mm-hmm. Yes, bulletproof vest. Breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is when you exchange your own desires for God's. You guys think that's hard. It's not as hard as you think. The breastplate of righteousness will repel the attack of the enemy. I'm just saying, you need some armor. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You want good boots? Good boots are made for walking. Don't do it. Some of you guys are like, oh, I got to sing the song now. No, don't sing the song. The walking that comes with the gospel of peace means you can go out and share the gospel. Part of, wait, watch this. Part of waging war is taking the gospel to your friends. You have to move your feet to take the gospel to your friends. Get this. Look at me. There are people that will go to hell if you don't share Jesus with them. There are people that will go to hell if you don't share Jesus with them. Get off your butt and get in the battle. This is war. I'm telling you. What kind of parade do you want Satan to have anyway? I want him to have the kind where he's naked and crying, being dragged along in the streets and ashamed, sad, pathetic loser. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, Satan is shooting at you. Your best defense is your shield, and it's made of faith. Believe. God is who he says he is. I promise. And I don't lie. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. If you are saved, you wear a helmet, period. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is made of the Word of God. Now, some preachers will say there's only one offensive weapon in this whole list. Everything else is defensive. You got a shield, you got a helmet, you got a breastplate, you got a belt, you got shoes. The only thing that's offensive is the Word of God. You want to be a warrior? Open your Bible. Open your Bible. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, requests, and with this in mind, be alert. And always keep praying for all the saints. And pray for your youth pastor. It's good preaching. Amen. Let me share this with you. Guys, this is what the Bible says. In Romans it says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. In other words, when you sin, you earn something. It's not a gift. You earned it. The wages of sin is death. And death is separation from God. That's real death. The only real death is separation from God. Some of you guys are sad because Jeannie Starks passed away. Some of you know Jeannie. And we're sad that she's no longer here, but we're excited because she's with the Lord. She's with the Lord. That's not death. Death is separation from God. When you sin, you are separated from God. Not that God pushes you away, but that you push God away. You say, my way is better than your way. I'm going to do it my way. And you step away from him. He doesn't step away from you. You see, in a battle, you want the strongest people you got right next to you. It only brings us anguish. It only makes us a bigger target. So I've taught you how to fight. You know how to fight. Get on your hands and knees and fight like a man. This is war, and I'm tired of getting my butt kicked. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to perfect the weapons as best I can. I'm going to rebel. In fact, you want to talk about rebellion? Flip back to 2 Corinthians real quick. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 10. If I can find it, you can find it. All right? There it is. 2 Corinthians 10. Starting in verse 3. Let this sink into your spirits. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You want to be a rebel? Obey. We serve a God who's always turning things upside down, don't we? You want to be a rebel? Obey. Obey the God whose voice is quiet, but whose authority is absolute. Don't obey the world where Satan roams and his voice is loud, but his authority is short and small. Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. The war is on. It's all around. You can see it. You don't have to be a military strategist to know the war is on. The question is, are you going to fight? Or are you just going to sit by and take Satan's shots time after time after time? Some of you guys are ready. You want to get involved. You want to get, I mean, how sick are we of seeing our friends go down? Get involved. Mr. Early, will you turn off all the lights? I'm going to pray. If you're ready to become a rebel, if you're ready to quit sitting on the couch and watching Satan run around with his sniper rifle, shooting your friends, taking them down, picking them off, next thing you know, we've got people who are broken, hurting, lost, crushed, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I'm going to pray. If you're ready to get involved, stand up and pray this with me. Lord God, I am getting involved. I am standing before you right now saying, I'm ready to get off the couch. I'm done watching. I'm done taking his shots. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to listen to the lies anymore. I'm not deceived. I'm not fooled. I am not a loser. I am a child of God. I have power and authority through Jesus Christ. Your Holy Spirit, you enable me. I trust you. I walk in you and I walk with you. And I am a rebel. I say no more to the things of this earth which are full of garbage. And I say yes to the weapons of this warfare. They are not carnal. They are not worldly. They are not temporal. They are eternal. They are valuable. They are lasting. And there's nothing Satan can do to stop me. You've got nothing, Satan. Because Jesus Christ made you a defeated foe. He destroyed you. He removed you from power. Your legs are undercut and your plans are worthless. We know the parade that you're in will be the parade of the disgusting, worthless, stupid, tiny, out of control, without a hope or a prayer, piece of dirt at our Lord's feet. You will be drunk through the streets, naked and ashamed. And we will join with our Lord, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So we ask, Lord Jesus, enable us tonight. Help us. Help us, Lord, with our mouths that we might speak truth, that our belt would be fastened securely. Help us, Lord God, to be righteous, that our chest might be protected. Our heart might be protected, Jesus. Help us, Lord, because it's so hard to share the gospel, but let our feet take us and carry us places where we can say, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Join us, the unashamed Christians. Help us, Lord, that we might securely fashion our helmet of salvation upon our heads, that it might protect us against the attack of the enemy on our minds. Jesus, reinforce our shields. We trust you, and yet sometimes we lack faith. So build our faith, Lord. Help us, Father God, to understand your word, that it might be sharp enough to separate bone from marrow in our hands. Jesus, be with us. Help us to be your army. We ask these things together. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's army said, amen. Amen. I love you guys. If you need prayer, there are lots of people here that would love to pray for you. If you need help with your sword or your shield, let me know. If you're tired of the things of this world and you need some Christian replacements, let me know. I love you. You're dismissed.